Okay, we're beginning here on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, HaKutim, Ein Lahem Nizirut. When it comes to the Kutim, they're not Shayach to the Parsha of Nizirut. Now, the word Kutim in general is a word that's difficult to determine many times in the Mishnah and the Gemara as to what it's referencing, because sometimes it could be the proper noun, Kutim, which is referring to that sect of Kutim, which the Tanaim and Amoraim have a machloket as to their status. Or it can be more generically referring to Ovdei Kochavim or Goyim, because the censors change the words in it and use Kuti as a way to deal with that. And you can see here in the Mefaresh, when he says a Kutim Elam Nizirut, is a Ovdei Kochavim. It's referencing Ovdei Kochavim in general, not necessarily the sect of Kutim in particular. They don't have Nizirut, and that's despite the fact that in general, with regards to Nidarim and Nidavot, when it comes to Korbanot, that we do accept korbanot from a nachui, and we're going to see that ribui in the Gemara, despite that fact, they're not shayach or relevant in the parsha of nizirut. On the other hand, nashim va'avadim yesh lehem nizirut. Nashim and avadim do have nizirut, meaning that they have the ability to engage in another nizirut. The chiddush really here is an eved, which is referring to an eved knani, and that he is shayach to the parsha, despite the fact that an oved kochavim is not. Nashim are probably brought down agav, which is that generally Nashim Avadim, as we'll see in the Gemara, have the same din with their regards in Chiyuva Mitzvot. But over here it's obvious that an Isha is Shayach in the Parsha of Nizirut, because the Parsha itself says Ish O Isha. And so therefore it's clear that a woman is included in the Parsha of Nizirut. Now the Gemara says, Chomer v'Nashim mib Avadim. Nashim have a Chumra that the Avadim don't have. Shehu kofet avdo, and Adon, the master, can force his servant to abrogate the neder nizirut that he took, and the Gemara will discuss what are the circumstances and what he's allowed to do, but he can compel him to do that because he's under the mastership of this Adon, and therefore he can compel him. On the other hand, by Nashim, eino kofet ishto. He cannot compel his wife to violate the neder nizirut. Now obviously, we know from Parshat Nedarim, and we learned in Masechet Nedarim, that the husband does have a veto right, or a right of refusal when it comes to the isha. Nevertheless, if he did not exercise that right, and therefore the neder is mikuyam, and the neder nizirut is mikuyam, after the fact, he doesn't have a right to compel her to abrogate that neder nizirut. And that's the distinction that's being drawn here between an isha and an eved. Mar says, Tani hakutim ein lehem nizirut. The Mishnah says that kutim don't have nizirut. Minahani mila. How do you know that that is true? The Tanur Banan. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. The parsha of nizirut begins. Vaydaber shem moshe lemor. The Beru Bnei Yisrael, Varmatalehem, Ish O Isha, Ki Afin Yidor Neder Nazir Lazir Hashem. So it begins with the Beru El Bnei Yisrael, Velo Ovdei Kochavim, Varmatalehem. And then it says, after the Beru Bnei Yisrael, Varmatalehem, which is a Riboy, the Rabot, Et HaAvadim. The Gemara says, Lamei Likra. Why do I need a particular Pasuk to include the Avadim? They should by default be included. Because we have in the Mishnah and Kiddushim, which tells us, kol mitzvah sheisha chayevet ba, when it comes to any mitzvah that a woman is obligated in, eved chayev ba, and eved knani is also obligated in that mitzvah, and therefore if a woman is sheyachet in the parsha of nizirut, so too should an eved be sheyach in the parsha of nizirut. Amarova shani hocha, da'amar kra, because the pasuk says, le'esor isar al nafsho. And it's talking about, and this is not in the parsha of nazir, it's actually found in the parshat nidarim. There it says that a person has the ability, la'asor isar al nafsho, to restrict something upon himself. Now, as Tosafot points out, the Rosh points out that there is a hekesh that is drawn between nizirut and nidarim, and because of that hekesh that is drawn between them, something that is written in the parsha of nidarim would also be relevant in the parsha of nizirut. So even though we're quoting something from the parsha of nidarim, nevertheless we're going to use it as a proof with regards to nizirut. And that is, b'mish nafsho knuya lo, that's only someone who has control over their destiny. That's the eved shein nafsho knuya lo. When it comes to an eved knani, the adon has a kinyan aguf, he has real ownership rights within this eved knani, and therefore his nafsho is not shayach to him. And for that reason, you would have thought he's not relevant here in the parsha. Along comes the riboy of the pasuk to tell you that the eved knani is relevant in the parsha of nizirut. The other way that you could darshan it, and the Yerushalmi follows this methodology, we see this in other mitzvot as well, which is that someone who only has one adon above him, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not someone else who has an intermediary adon, which is his master in between him, and therefore he doesn't have that right to accept an izirut la Hashem because he has another Adon that intercedes between him and Hashem, and that's what would have possibly prevented him from being relevant within this parsha. The mashmalan is that v'amarat alehem, that an Eved Kenani is included. So that's the Gemara says, what was the Hava meaning to exclude the Eved Kenani? And now it tells you the reason for that, and then the reboy from the pasuk that says that he is included. That by Nazir, pasuk should then make it irrelevant for him, the parsha of Nazir. Kamash Malon, that we do not say that, and that the Rebo over here includes the Eved. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, which is, Daberel B'nei Yisrael is a generic statement that is used throughout the Torah. And every time it says Daberel B'nei Yisrael, we don't say that that's only relevant to B'nei Yisrael and it excludes Ovdei Chokhovim. It's just the way that the Torah speaks. So why should you make a big deal out of it here by the Nazir? That's what Gemara says, Amar Mar, Daberel B'nei Yisrael, below the Ovdei Chokhovim. Is it really true anytime that a parsha is specified to Bnei Israel, then an Obi Kochavim is automatically excluded? By the case of Arachim, which is found at the end of Sefer Vayikra, which establishes a list of individuals and their ages and their gender, and based on those qualifications, if a person promises that Erech to the Mikdash, you go look up in the table what the amount is, and then you pay that to the Mikdash. And over there it says, Daber El Bnei Israel. The parsha begins with Daber El Bnei Yisrael, and despite that, Betanya, Bnei Yisrael ma'arichin, ve'inu ovdei kochavim ma'arichim. Bnei Yisrael have the ability to donate erech in such a manner, but the ovdei kochavim do not have a right to engage in a donation to the mikdash in such a manner. Yochol lo yehu ne'erachin. You would think that they could not be the object of an erech, where an individual says, I'm going to give the erech of so-and-so, and that so-and-so is an Ovid Kochavim, you would think that that would not have relevance. Tamalomer Ish. The word Ish is used by Arachin. That ribuy of the word Ish comes to teach you that the Ovid Kochavim is included. So therefore, even though the Parsha begins with the Berel Bnei Yisrael, nevertheless, it's still relevant for an Ovid Kochavim. Now, agreed, it's not fully relevant to an Ovid Kochavim, but it is at least somewhat relevant to the Ovid Kochavim. And as the Mifuresh explains over here, and so does the Balei HaTosafot, that the Gemara on the Amud Bet is going to make such a suggestion that the same could be relevant by the Din of Nazir, which is that the individual would be relevant in the Parsha of Nazir, but he would be excluded from the Korbanot, meaning that the Daver El Bnei Yisrael will be sufficient grounds for excluding him from the entirety of the Parsha of Nazir, which means that he won't bring the Korbanot. Although they have the Ish, where it says, Ish, O Ishak, Yafleeting Dor, Ned, Nazir, Hashem, that same Ish, like Ba'arachin, which includes the Ovid Kochavim, should do the same thing over here, and include him in the fact that he has to then be Asur, Lishtot Yayin, Vasur, Letameh, Lemeitim, so he have to keep the Isurim associated with the Nazirot, although he won't be able to bring the Korbanot at the end. But he should be at least somewhat relevant in this Parsha. Mar says, Shani Hocha, by Nazir it's different. Damar Kro, because the Pasuk says, Laviv ulimo lo itama, that for his mother and his father he may not become tameh. The mi shilish lo av yatsa ovedei kochavim shein lo av. It's only relevant to someone who has an av, because an oved kochavim doesn't have an av. Now obviously he has a father, and obviously there is some biological connection to his father. What we're speaking about here is in terms of yichus. With regards to Bnei Yisrael, the yichus is passed from the father down to the child, and therefore there is a strong relevance to who the father is, the status of the child. On the other hand, with regards to an Ovid Kochavim, the father has no relevance with regards to the standing or status of that individual. And therefore, he doesn't have a Av. So Gemara says, Lamai, what are you referencing here that there is no relevance here? Ilei ma'alinyan yirusha, if you're talking about inheritance, which is that by Jews, the inheritance is passed through the father, which is not true by the Ovid Kochavim, that the Yerusha would not pass from the father to the son. That mina Torah, there is Yerusha that is passed from the father to the son. Shenemar, ki Yerusha ve'esav natati et Har Seir. I granted Esav Yerusha of Har Seir. And based on the Pasuk, it seems like the nation of Edom would be the Yorshim, the inheritors of this promise to their forefather Esav, and would be passed down from father to son, from Esav to his children, and there is Yerusha that follows from father to son. So if you're talking about Av in the context of Yerusha, which is the primary place where the Av is mentioned in the Torah, or the relevance of relationship between a father and son, so that's true by Bnei Yisrael, but it's also true by an Ovid Kochavim. Ela v'mi shemuzhar al kibud aviv. Oh, it's got to do with someone who is commanded with regards to kibud av ve'im. And the Gemara here asks, Miktiv kabed avicha gabe nazir. Why is kibud av relevant by nazir? And the truth is, it is somewhat relevant, because the mention of aviv v'imo in the pasuk has come to tell you the extent to which the nazir is restricted in becoming tamei tumat tamei. That even for his father and mother, he is restricted from becoming tamei tumat tamei, which is despite the fact that he's obligated in kibud avim, he's still restricted from coming tamei for them. On the other hand, it's just telling you the extent of the tumah. It's not necessarily connected to or embedded in the mitzvah of kabed et avicha ve'et imecha. So even though it's true by Bnei Yisrael that that mitzvah is relevant, it's not relevant necessarily by the goy, he's not nitzaveh on kibud avim, that should not have influence over this din with regards to nazir. And as Tosfot points out over here, that despite the fact that before, when the Gemara asked about Yerusha, it didn't say, oh, why is Yerusha relevant by nazir? The answer to that, as Tosfot says, is that that's the most commonplace occurrence of the relationship of an av to a child, is in the context of Yerusha. So over there, it's not relevant to ask the question as to, is Yerusha, what does Yerusha have to do with Nazirut? Because Yerusha has to do with the more general thought process, with the more general consideration of a relationship between a father and a child, and that makes sense. Over here, we're already going out to Kabeda Tavicha Vetimecha, we're going to a particular mitzvah, then the Gemara asks this question of why you're going to that particular mitzvah. In addition, what the Rosh does over here is says, wait a minute, what does this Aviv V'Imo do for you? You now have three different words or psukim that are here. You have the Beryl B'nai Yisrael, which would limit it to B'nai Yisrael. You have the word Ish, that would be Mirabe Ovei Kochavim. And now you have the L'Aviv V'Imo Lo Itama, which now would say that he is not relevant. So what is the Gemara asking over here? You still have to deal with the fact that the word Ish is there and the word B'nai Yisrael are there. So the Rosh over here explains, Hilkach leka lemidrash hocha ish liribui. V'nirli demihai kra lo v'shminin midei. If it was just for the pasuk of l'aviv l'imoli tamah, we wouldn't have made it any big deal out of it. We wouldn't have said anything about it. Ilav dichtiv b'nei Yisrael. Had it not written b'nei Yisrael. Ela voter dichtiv b'nei Yisrael. But once we already have this miut of b'nei Yisrael, achi hoch drosha lafuke mibruid ish. Then the drosha l'aviv l'imoli tamah comes to offset the ish. So on a standalone basis, we wouldn't have made anything of it. We wouldn't have made any drush on it. But now that already we have B'nai Yisrael, which does have the possibility we might do be kochavim, and now we have a riboy of ish, what Aviv B'mo lo itama comes to do, it says, don't be doresh ish as a riboy, but rather uphold that original drusha of B'nai Yisrael. And that's what the Gemara is attempting to do here. It rejects it because of the lack of connection between kabed et avicha and the mitzvah of nazir. So Gemara says, El amakra, laviv ulimo lo itama. Imi sheesh lo tuma. That it's only true, the parsha of nazir, with regards to someone who's relevant to tuma. Yatsa obey kochavim, shein lo tuma. For that you would exclude an obey kochavim who's not relevant in the parsha of tuma. Minalon delay lohu tuma. How do you know that he's not relevant in the parsha of tuma? Damakra. Because the pasuk says, v'ish asher itma, velo itchata. It says that a person who becomes tamei, velo itchata, and he does not purify himself, v'nichrata hanevashahim itocha kahal. That person will be severed or cut off from the congregation. V'mi sheesh lo kahal. Kahal is a particular word that's used to describe B'nai Yisrael, and therefore it's only relevant by B'nai Yisrael. Yatzazeh she'en lo kahal. This person would be excluded because he's not relevant to the kahal. So the pasuk of ish asher itma velo itchata v'nichrata nevashahim itocha hakahal, to me, nichrata mitocha kahal is not relevant to this individual because he's not part of the kahal. So therefore, he's not relevant within the parsha of tuma. So Gemara says, well, mimai. How do you know that's the right interpretation? Dilma karetu delo mechaye. Maybe that's only true, the fact that he is not shayach to the punishment of karet. Aval itzmuyei mitamu. But he does become tamei. Meaning that, as the Mefarash explains over here, he will be relevant with regards to tuma. He will become tamei. He will convey tuma. He'll be no different than a kli that can convey and can accept tuma. But he will not be subject to the punishments that are associated with tuma if someone goes bit tuma into the mikdash. Nevertheless, he should be relevant to the world of tuma. He just won't be relevant to the punishment of karet. So the Gemara says, okay, amakra za tahor ala tameh. That we learn it out of this pasuk, that the one who is tahor sprinkles on the tameh. Kosh yesh lo tahara, yesh lo tuma. Anybody who is relevant to becoming purified, then they are shayach to tuma. Only someone who can be purified will become tameh. Anybody who can't become purified will not become tameh. The Gemara says, let us assume here that maybe he can't become tahor. Tuma, havyalei. On the other hand, he could become Tamei. Who says that the two are correlated? Maybe it is that they're independent. He can become Tamei, he just can't become Tahor. So Amakra, the Ish Asher Yitma Velo Yitchata. That the individual who becomes Tamei, Velo Yitchata, and does not purify himself, indicating that there is some relevance to this. Now, there are two ways to learn this. The Tosafot and the Rosh both mention the fact that the possibility that this Pasuk is Miyutar, it is extraneous, this Pasuk, or the language in the Pasuk is extraneous, and from that extraneous language, we learn out that there is a connection between the Tumah and the Tahara. On the other hand, the Rosh indicates that it's possibly not even that it's a Miyutar the Kra, that it's a Yitur HaKra, that it's extraneous Pasuk, but rather the Hekesh. And a Hekesh does not require Yitur HaKra, it's simply the juxtaposition of these two items. Now, if that's the case, what was wrong with the Pasuk of Yihizah Tahor al-Tameh, which seems to have that same juxtaposition? What Tosafot points out is that when you're talking about Vizora Tahor al-Tameh, the Tahor there does not really mean that the same person who is Tameh will become Tahor. It means that the person who is doing the process of being Mitaher, this individual's Tameh, that person is Tahor. Yihizah Tahor is talking that another individual's Tahor will sprinkle on the Tameh. And therefore the Hekesh is not so strong in that Pasuk. But the pasuk that we're speaking about, and we brought as a proof in the end, is Ish Asher Yitma Velo Yitchata. That person who is Tamei and will not become purified, it's the same person, and we're talking about both the Tumah and the Tahara. And in that context, there's a Hekesh between the two items, and that shows us that just like the Nachri is not Shayach to Tahara, he's not Shayach bit Tumah. Now why, or how do we know that he is not Shayach bit Tahara? So Tosafot over here quotes from the Kuntres, and says that the pasuk says, "Vaitala dat bnei Yisrael lemishmeret lemeinida chatati lemishmeret lebnei Yisrael v'lo leoved kochavim," and that's the limud that teaches us that the oved kochavim is not relevant to the parsha of Tahara, because it says over there that he's not relevant to the sprinkling of the paraduma, because it's a mishmeret lemeinida for bnei Yisrael and not for the oved kochavim, and so just like he's not relevant to those processes of Tahara, and that in general he has no significant relevance within the parsha of Tahara, so now we connect the Tumah with this Hekesh and say, just like there's no relevance by Tahara, there's no relevance by Tumah. Now, the Obi Kochavim does have Tumah, but that's all an imposition midrabanan, but midoraita, if you don't have Tahara, you don't have Tumah. Since they're not relevant in the parsha of Tahara, they're not relevant in the parsha of Tumah. Vacha b'Yakov amar shani hocha. Vacha b'Yakov goes back and says, no, we don't have to go down this path. We can go back to the path of the Aviv Limo lo yitama and say this. Damar Kral, the pasuk says, "V'itnachaltem otam libnechem acharechem." When it comes to an eved kenani, where a Jew has a kinyan guf in this individual, basically he's treated like property, and the father can pass that to the son, like he would pass any property to the son. So now, kol sheishlo nachala, yeshlo tuma. Anybody who has nachala, and that goes back to what we said before, la vivulimo lo yitama, that the av is relevant in the parsha of Yerusha, and we said before, well, a av to a son has Yerusha by Bnei Yisrael, it's also true by an Oved Kochavim. Over here we clarify and say that's not always true. There's some parts of Nachala that are only relevant to Bnei Yisrael and not relevant to an Oved Kochavim. And that is the passing of an Eved Kenani from a father to a son by Bnei Yisrael. That is relevant because they have a Kinyan Aguf in the Eved Kenani, and therefore he's able to pass it as property to his son. On the other hand, a Goy does not have that ability, because a Goy does not have a Kinyan Aguf in another Goy, and that's Darshan from the Sukim, that show that only you, Bnei Yisrael, have such a kinyan, but Oved Kochavim do not have a kinyan in his fellow Oved Kochavim, and therefore he can't pass this B'Yusha to his son. So they're not completely relevant in the parsha of Yusha. Now, if they're not relevant in the parsha of Yusha, then it says, "Lavi b'limo lo yitama." Only someone has an av fully for Yusha will have a din in Tuma. This individual does not fully have an av in Yusha, because there are certain things that he cannot inherit from his father. Therefore, also, he will not have Shaykhut to the parsha of Tuma. Rama says, "Yochi abadim nami." Lo, that's the case. An eved is an eved knani, and therefore he should also have this same problem. Now, how does an eved knani anyway have any ownership over another eved that this is even relevant here? The truth is that what the Rosh explains over here is that someone can gift him an eved knani where he has ownership in it, and it excludes the ownership of his master, which is a gam eved imnatnu lo eved amanat shein l'rabo reshut bo einu mosheisho lebanav, and that would be a problem. Some of the Rishonim point out here, more broadly, that the problem is that an Eved in general, an Eved Kani, doesn't have Yerusha at all. Forget about Yerusha of an Eved Kani. He's not Shayach to the Parsha of Yerusha, and he should be excluded. The same way that you're trying to exclude an Oved Kochavim from the fact that Ein Lo Aviv V'imo, he doesn't have Yichus, he doesn't have Yerusha, so he should be excluded from the Parsha. El Omer Robo, Bishlomo, Gabay Arachin, Shinemar, by Arachim, it says, B'nei Yisrael, Marichim, Ben Ubdi Kochavim, Marichim. Yocholo Yehei, Ne'arachin. So you would think they can't be the object of an Erech, Tamal Omer Ish. So the Ish comes and includes them, Le'arachin, but not Le'marichin. Hocha. So now, what are you going to say by Nazir? B'nei Yisrael, Nozrim, Umivim, Kurban. This is what we discussed on the Amud Aleph, that the Bnei Yisrael would come to teach you that just Bnei Yisrael are uniquely allowed to take an Eden and Zirut and bring a Korban at the end of that. But an Obed Kochavim does not have that right. You would think maybe they're not Nizirim at all, Tamalomar Ish, to come to include him. So that would be the equivalent drosha by a nazir that you would have by arachin, which is to say that the ish would be a riboy to include him, to say that he's relevant by the isurim of nazir, and Bnei Yisrael would be a miut to tell you that he's not relevant to the korbanot of nazir. So that would be the parallel structure that you have by arachin to say it by nazir. And if you do say that, then we're in a problem. Amrei im yishum korban, lav mehalcha nafkale. The fact that he's not allowed to bring a korban by nazirut is not learned out of this distinction between Bnei Yisrael and Ish, but rather from another miut, which is Elmi Hotam. It's learned out the pasuk in Parshat Emor, which talks about Ish Ish l'rabot o'ovdei kochavim, to show that an ovdei kochavim also can bring nedarim in the davot. And there the pasuk concludes Ish Ish mi beit Yisrael asher yakriv korbano l'chol nedrehem l'chol nivadam asher yakrivu lo Hashem le'ola. The pasuk ends with the word le'ola, and from that we darshan le'ola prat l'nizirut. That he's allowed to bring voluntary offerings, but the ola is what he's allowed to bring, but not a korban of nizirut. Now, Rabbi Akiva over there argues and says that that's not the limud, but the limud is rather that he can only bring olot. He's not allowed to bring shlamim as a voluntary offering, but that would automatically preclude him from bringing the korbanot of nazir, because one of the korbanot of the nazir is a shlamim. So that's what we already learned out of the word le'ola. You don't need this reconciliation between Bnei Yisrael and Ish to get you to that conclusion. And that's because Lola, Prat Nizirut, Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that the Ola tells you that Korbanot HaNazir are already not relevant for Noved Kochavim from that Pasuk and not from here by Nazir. So, Ema, Bnei Yisrael Nozrim Nizirut Olam, Noved Kochavim Nozrim Nizirut Olam. Let's say that the word Bnei Yisrael comes to teach you that Bnei Yisrael can take Nizirut, a Nazir Olam, as opposed to an Noved Kochavim Kenet. Yoko Yehei Nizirim, maybe they can't then be regular Nizirim, Tamalomar Ish. What the Gemara suggests now is the Riboy of Ish allows them to be regular Nizirim, but the Bnei Yisrael comes to exclude them from the possibility of being a Nazir Olam. I'm Rav Yochanan, Miktiv a Nazir Olam. Where does it say Nazir Olam in the Parsha? First of all, Nazir Olam is not even learnt out of the Parsha of Nizirut, it's learned out from Avshalom. And the Din by Avshalom, it's nothing to do with the Parsha itself, and it's also basically Torah Shebaal Peh. So how can you say that Torah Shebichtav is coming to exclude something that is not even written or even apparent in the Parsha of Nizirut? So that can't be the explanation over here. So Gemara makes another suggestion. As we saw earlier in the Masechta, that a father can impose on his child the Neder Nizirut. So that would only be true for Bnei Yisrael, but not true by an Achri. But maybe you would think they can't be Nizirim themselves. Ish. So Ish will be Meraveh that they themselves can become Nizirim. Bnei Yisrael will exclude them from the ability to impose that Nizirut on their son. Or says, that doesn't make any sense. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha hi ben Nazir. The fact that a father can impose the Neder Nizirut on his son is halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai. And so from both perspectives, you can say this in one of two ways. One is that halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai is specifically directed to Bnei Yisrael. And if that's the case, there's no reason for the Torah to exclude an Ovid Kochavim. He wasn't relevant to start with. Or, the other possibility is Allah HaMosh Misinai, by definition, is not written in the Torah. It's something that is a sidebar, an exceptional rule, and that means that the Torah is not going to address it. You won't have Bnei Yisrael coming to tell you, Bnei Yisrael, yes, Ovid Kochavim, no, about something that's not even in the Parsha of Nazir. It's something that's outside that Parsha. Something that comes through a Mistorah. So Gemara says, okay, let's try this. Ema, Bnei Yisrael, Migachim, and Nizirut Avien. Again, something we saw earlier in the Masechta, that a child can pick up the korbanot of his father. There we had a machloket, Rishonim, as well as Tanaim, as to when exactly that is. Is that only when he does it at the same time as his father, only after the passing of his father, but he can utilize the korbanot of his father. So let us say that that din, or that special din, is unique to Bnei Yisrael, but Yachol, lo yehi nizirin, you would think that they can't become nizirim at all, tamalomar ish. So the word Ish will say that they can become Ovdei Kochavim, can become regular Nizirim, B'nai Yisrael will exclude them from this special din that a son can pick up the father's korbanot and utilize those towards his nizirut. Mar says again, Ha'itmar, Am Rav Yochanan Alochi ibn Nazir. That it is Alocha Moshe Mishinai again. This din is Alocha Moshe Mishinai ibn Nazir. And once again, you have the same problem. The pasuk is not going to be addressing B'nai Yisrael to exclude an Ovid Kochavim with regards to Alocha Moshe Mishinai, or the fact that it's Alocha Moshe Mishinai means it's specifically stated about B'nai Yisrael, and therefore there's no reason to exclude Ovid Kochavim. It's by design. They're excluded because they're not relevant to the Alocha Moshe Mishinai. Gemara is trying to work through this alternative answer where we already had one answer which says B'nai Yisrael comes to exclude Ovid Kochavim. Ish would have been Merabeh, except for the fact that we have this Laviva Limo Lo Itama that tells you that you have to be relevant in the world of Tumah. And since the Goy is not relevant in the world of Tumah, then like the Rosh says, we're going to then emphasize the B'nai Yisrael and Ovid Kochavim, and we're not going to be Doresh Ish as a Ribuit. The Gemara then attempted to go back and try to do it through Yerusha. And it made one attempt to do this. In an attempt to do it through the exclusion of Yerusha, it bumped into a problem because then Avadim would also be precluded. And now the Gemara tried it other formulations of how you could have a miut from B'nai Yisrael and a riboy from Ish that would still keep the goy relevant in the parsha of Nazir with regards to at least the Isurim, not with regards to the Korban. And each time the Gemara rejects it as not being a plausible explanation for the reconciliation between the miut of B'nai Yisrael and the riboy of Ish. So the Gemara tried to find some reason why the word Ish is relevant over here, or what type of riboy that it would be. In the end, the Gemara is unsuccessful at finding such a limud, and therefore the word Ish, we're going to leave alone. According to the Balei HaTosafot, they say lo darish, we're just not doresh the word Ish. According to the Mifarish, we come to the conclusion that Ish o Isha, that the reason that Ish is brought down is just because of the word Isha, and it's lav dafka, the word Ish itself has no specific relevance here by the case of Nazir. And Ovi Kochavim is completely precluded from the Parsha of Nazir, either because he's not relevant to the world of Tumah, and therefore you only have B'nai Yisrael below Ovi Kochavim. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines down on the top of Samach Bet Amud Aleph.